Okay, so last week we started Megillas Esther. It would be easier. You don't need the Megillah, but you'll need the Chumash. And maybe the Siddur for today. So we started yesterday. We're doing this in honor also. No one's on. We're doing this also a little extra tonight, hopefully, in honor of Aronovich's mother. Memory. And, okay. So last week we said, Vayihi b'mei Achashverosh hu Achashverosh. And it's a repetition. Achashverosh hu Achashverosh. And we said right away, what's going on? Why are you repeating it? And we quoted Rashi's answer. Mitzchilase v'atsoif, he was a Rashi. He remained evil from beginning to end. Go listen to the share for the many different approaches we had for that. Tonight we're going to go. Tonight we're going to go on the same words. But instead of doing Rashi's answer, we're going to do a different approach. So, we're going to do the Alshach first. Okay? Vayihi b'mei Achashverosh hu Achashverosh is a repetition of the words. So the Alshach quotes a Medrash. A Medrash that maybe some of us have heard. We'll analyze the Medrash, then we'll do a second approach. The Medrash says, why is it saying, it's an Alshach with the Medrash. Why is it saying Achashverosh hu Achashverosh, like a repetition of the game going on here? So he says he wants to tell you the two different types of Achashverishes. It's also a Gemara, it's fascinating. It says, Achashverosh is the person who killed his wife because of his friend, and then killed his friend because of his wife. In history, we're going to know, we read the story. As this Perek Aleph comes through, she does something, Vashti, that we'll discuss, it wasn't so crazy.
The text never says he kills his wife.
Correct, we'll get to that. But officially, she did something against the Malchus, that is true. And she does something against the Malchus, and then there's a debate what to do about her. And the person who's putting Achashverosh into a corner, as we read more of Perek Aleph, is Haman. Haman paints Vashti in the worst possible light and puts Achashverosh into a box where he has to go on to extreme punishments. So at the end, he went along with Haman. We call him his friend, his co-worker anti-Israel, and he used his co-worker against his wife. But later on in the story, he flipped the script, as they say. He flipped the script. Why? Later on, he killed Haman because of his new wife. So the Medrash is saying, Achashverosh, who Achashverosh? Understand who this guy is. He's an Achashverosh who does A, and then he does B. As Shlomo HaMelech used to say, the hardest person to beat in a battle is a shaita. You can't play bluffing, you can't play poker against a fool. Uh-huh. Because all your cheshbonos don't work. He's a fool. The hardest thing is, what it says by Shlomo HaMelech, that Shlomo HaMelech was so smart, he even was used to debate the shaitim. Even the shaitim. No, because the shaitim is impossible to talk to. You can't have a conversation with a shaita. I in the news reports today about it, whatever this week's, what goes on in certain places. Total backward reality, right? So, why is it telling us now? So, as something we've said many times, even though we only started this officially last week, is that we said every word of this story is to magnify the greatness of the miracle that occurred to our nation through this story. Every word. So here what the Torah does is, the Torah says, Vayihi b'mei Achashverosh hu Achashverosh, to start the story, to know how great the miracle is, to know there's no strategies against a guy like Achashverosh. You know why? Because today he does A and tomorrow he does B. Today he's the wife against the Haman, and tomorrow he's the Haman against the wife. So there's not really, you can't start sitting down in a think tank room and say, how are we going to deal with this guy? Can't deal with this guy. So that means the miracle that occurs later on is a greater miracle. So why does Achashverosh hu Achashverosh? Alshach is saying to weigh the two types of Achashverishes that we have. The Achashverosh who's pro-friend, anti-wife. Achashverosh who's pro-wife, anti-friend. Again, magnifying the miracle, which we have to say every word of this story is to magnify the miracle. It also, similar to the Alshach, it's along the lines of the Alshach, magnifying the miracle to say that sometimes, nothing that we would know about today, no one here would say such words out of the mouth, but sometimes people like to say that, we don't care who the leader of a nation is because we have a Jew who's close to the emperor, king, random guest, White House maybe, someone might say. We don't care because we know there's a Jewish person close by. What we're trying to say is, when it comes to someone like Achashverosh, who can kill his wife the first time, so what are you going to say? We're happy his new wife is Jewish? He killed his first wife. And we're going to know later on what happened, but at this time, we were telling people, don't be excited about the wife in the White House, because it doesn't mean anything. So it magnifies the miracle. Know who this guy is. This is the guy who killed his wife. So either, these are similar but not the same. One is, realize this guy is an afachfan, the word is. He's a dual personality, duality, not straight.
What's the word?
Hafachfan. Which means he rotates his shittas. Today he says A, tomorrow he says B. Makes the miracle greater. Second one is telling us that know right away at the time, Don't be too impressed. You have someone in the White House. As the story's going on, you could say, oh, this is going to be a good ending. Once Esther becomes the queen now, you could say at the time, this is great for us. No, no, no. Remember, he killed his first wife. So the killing of the first wife, which is being mentioned right away, Achashverosh, Achashverosh, is to tell us, don't get too excited about this. Realize the greatness of the miracle. Question.
He killed his wife. How did he kill her? Does anybody know how she died?
When we get to the end of the first parak, as the doc said, it doesn't openly say that he killed his wife. Now, the basic interpretation is that he did kill his wife, but it's not everyone's interpretation, by the way. But that's what we learn in Cheder, so that's what we're saying here. And then once you want to learn he killed his wife, then that's if he killed his wife. Once we learn he killed his wife, then we have to go, okay, well, let's figure out how he killed his wife. Different ways he might have done it.
He certainly got rid of her.
She is not part of the story anymore.
Right.
The question, was it a death sentence or not? Question.
My brother always says grandchildren in the White House is better.
That's actually a good line. That's actually a good line. Right? That's a better move. You're right. That's a fair call. Fair call. Fair call.
There are Arab grandchildren on the way.
Oh.
We're focusing on the...
Okay. Next one. Next one. Still going at the same thing. Vachashresh Vachashresh ties into a question we asked last week, which we're not testing people who said listen to the share at all, but we said last week that every word connects to the next word. So it started out by Hibi Mechashresh. And we asked the question last week, why does Hibi Achashverosh, when you read Ala Nisim, it's Vahibi Mei Mordechai V'Esther. That's Esther. But Mordechai V'Esther. So we have to, why were we saying Achashverosh? So one of the answers I want to say, Vahibi Achashverosh, Achashverosh, to tell us that this is what the people were saying. When you ask a person, what is going on? What would they say? So the famous mashal is this. Famous mashal is this. There's a kid on a father's shoulder. Right? Kid's on a father's shoulder. Kid's walking down 15th Avenue on 49th Street. And the guy stops the kid and says, oh, by the way, where are you right now? He says, I'm on my father's shoulder. Okay, where's that? It's right on 49th Street. Fine. Then the kid walks a few blocks over. He's on 46th Street. Asks the kid, where are you? What's his answer? His answer is, I'm on my father's shoulder. So for the kid, nothing actually changed. He's on his father's shoulder. What he's not saying is on 46th Street, because it doesn't make a difference to him. In the end, he doesn't care where he is. He's on his father's shoulder. It's the psychology of the yidden in the desert. There's an halacha lemaisa question. Right. Chaim Shlomitz, excellent. That's what we're saying. Chaim Shlomitz says that the Yidden in the Midbar, in the desert, were always under Hashem's authority. So they didn't switch locations. Now, what it means that what the people say, what they recognize as the world, is what's, in a way, creates a reality to it. So the problem with what the Megillas Esther is beginning with, Megillas Esther, again, is every word is trying to magnify the beauty of the story of the miracle. So it's magnifying by saying this. What were the mentioned Zagan? What were people saying? When you stop a guy, what's going on in the world today? So he wasn't saying necessarily, just as the example, I'm on 46th Street. He was saying I'm in my father's hands. That's a good thing by Hashem. But when it comes to the Goyish world, when it comes to the world we live in today, what were they telling? The Yidden was saying we're in Achashverosh's land. It's in Achashverosh's time. Instead of saying, we're under the auspices of God. So it magnified the miracle because the people were recognizing, sadly to say, or giving credit, better word to say, they were giving credit to the Melech Achashverosh as the ruler of the world, the one who's controlling everything. What happens is you create your own reality, God forbid, and when you decide that the reality world is based on what you do, then God says, okay, I'll give it to you, and it's what you do. You don't want that. You want the reality world is not what I do. I could try, like we spoke about 2 weeks ago, but Hashem accomplishes the job. When Hashem accomplishes the job, you win. So because the world, including the Yidden, were going around saying, what's it now? It's the Achashverosh presidency, as a play on words, so they were relying on a regular human being. That made the Jews into a serious situation. So the reason we begin by Yim Achashverosh, who Achashverosh is to tell us, this is what people were saying. It was Achashverosh's time. Who Achashverosh? That's who you think it is? You think it's Achashverosh's time? Now, at the end, we know the miracle worked out. I have to think it through. I forgot. But not everyone famous.
Okay.
Yeah. Sometimes, you know. So sometimes I'm doing this on as I'm doing it. So the idea was that because they're saying Vibe Mechashverosh, again magnifying the miracle for how great the miracle was for the Jewish people. So until now, if we stop now, sometimes we have to listen to the tape a second time because we're claiming I'm talking too fast, which is fine. We have already three different approaches on today about the. Because we're focusing in on Achashverosh. Again, last week you focused on the Rashi of Hu Achashverosh. Doing the same words. Hu Achashverosh. Either he's Achashverosh, you can't figure out who the guy is. Either Achashverosh, don't rely on the woman in the White House. Or he's Achashverosh, don't rely on Achashverosh at all. Get rid of the man at all. Realize who we trusted the world. who we trust in the world. Don't rely on a guy who we think is good for Israel. Hopefully will be. But that's not who we rely on. We rely on Hashem putting someone in power who can be good for Israel. It's another step. But it's a crucial step in how you do everything in your life. When you have people on the radio saying, America's the greatest country, hard work guarantees money, that is apikorsis in Judaism. We don't believe such a thing. Hard work might be, God might have given you the ability to do hard work in order to get you money. That's a Chavetz Chaim. Chavetz Chaim says he gave you the work ethic for it, but it doesn't connect automatically. And the proof is, because when every soul comes down to this world, the Gemara Nida says, that it says to the soul, he'll be smart, or he'll be stupid, or he'll be wealthy, and he won't be wealthy. Clearly showing that brains and wealth are not necessarily interchangeable, not connected to each other automatically. It doesn't work that way. So, but it always has to be based on what we recognize. When a person, they say Moshe Reichman, Reb Moshe Reichman, who was at one point, I don't know, number three in the world, I think, in the late 80s. And they, when he died, New York Times wrote when he died in a hesped that Reichman said publicly that, and he was at third in the world, Reichman said publicly, that 96% of my success came from God and 4% was my intuitive brains that worked. And I wish I would have had less intuitive brains. New York Times quoted it. That's...
I thought he was going to say, it's intuitive brain gain came from God too.
No, I thought also. But that's not what he said. He said that, no, if it would have been less. But the beauty is, what we're saying now, is because that's what it means. It means you're saying that it's nothing to do with me. It's all from God. You're right. You're also, it's the same idea. But when you recognize it's from God, you have more of a right to ask for things. Now, everything until now was the easy stuff. Now we're about to go... Mind-blowing. There's a mashal. Normally, not the style that you would say of a mashal. Normally not. When people read mashals, they don't always understand the brilliance on every single level. So we're going to go to this right now. The end of the Shalach is the story of Amalek. Page 202 if you have this one. Page 202, you have this one. It is very, very wild. Pay attention. This is a beautiful ride to go on. Beautiful ride. So it says like this. Vayayim Hashem El Moshe. God told Moshe after the war. We're on page 202.
It's 392 in the other corner.
And 392, right at the end of B'Shalach. 392 or 202. K'soiv Zoy Sikarim B'Sefer. Write this down in the Sefer. Which, by the way, we'll get to. That word safer is a remnant to Megillas Esther. This is directly connected. V'sim ba'azne Yeshua. We're going to come back to these crucial details. So what do you? How do you read the words in English? V'sim ba'azne Yeshua. I tell you, place in the ears of Yeshua. Normally, if you go to the Kabbalistic writings, which you don't do on Thursday night classes, but if you go to the Kabbalistic writings, the word ba'azne, quick gematria, beis is 2, aleph is 1. Israel knows 2 plus 1. He has a degree in that. That's 3. 3 plus 7, 10. Plus 50 plus 10 is 70. Normally, what's the gematria for 70? Most famous gematria for 70? Soid. A secret. A secret is 70. But Ozne is 70. Because when you're talking to a guy's ear,
it's a secret.
So even though it says there's Simba, the Yeshua, up until today, he said, yeah, place in the ears of Yeshua. Special secret going on. We will come back to the special secret. But again, I will tell you this as a preview. Yes, but this for Simba Ozni Yeshua is going to be the story of Megillas Esther. We're going to get to the Yismach Moshe eventually. Whenever we get to it, it might take a long time, but we'll get there. Next words. Kimocha em chazecha Amalek. We have an obligation today to destroy Amalek with Achaz Shemaim. Skip the next pasuk. Now the last one. Vayoymer. Vayoymer. Kiyad al keis ka. The hand is on the throne of God. Melcham al Hashem Melech Medardar. Now Rashi right away here points out something very strange. What are these words? Kiyad al keis ka. Yodesh al HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Horma B'Shua, is lifted in an oath, B'Kisai on his throne, Liyos LaMelchama, it should always be a fight. Now Rashi asked the Abid Kasha, that's not how you spell Kisai. Case? What's case? It's an English word. Case. So what's Kisai? V'mao case, v'lo yama Kisai, v'af Hashem nechlo chetzi. So when you read the words in the Pasuk, v'yoymer, Kiyad Hashem al Keis Ka. So the word case is Kisei, you're missing a letter because it's not full. The throne of God is not full. The throne of God is not full. That's why it says case. And what about the name of God? Yud Kei. Vav Kei is how we spell it. But here it only says Yud Kei. Yud Kei. Right at the end of the last pasuk of Mishalach. So what does it say? And Rashi's hinting to it again. Rashi's telling us because the name of Hashem is also not full. not full as well. The throne is not full, and the name is not full. Up until when Mashiach will come, Bekarav, when we'll wipe out Amalek, part of the game, and we will build the Beis HaMikdash, as Ezreal said, and then we'll have, Olam will be a key say, Yudkei Vavkei. Now, just in case we say in Tehillim, the Mashah, not me, the Pasuk in Tehillim, we say, in Kuf Lamed Beis, Shel Ma'al Sechar Hashem LaDavid, Eskalum Noisoi, and it says like this. It says, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Hold on. Kuf Lamed Beis, it doesn't have the numbers of the Pasuk, here it says, Ki Bachar Hashem Etzion, God chose Tzion, Eva L'moishav Loi. You have the English there? Eva means what? A desire to return? Zois Menuchas Yad Yad. Marsha says, the word Eva is spelled, I said it out loud, Aleph Vav Hei, L'moishav Loi. Marsha says, Eva L'moishav Loi means when you were going to return those letters is when Hashem becomes Shalom. Because we're saying here, what's missing from the word of
the Aleph,
the Hey, and the Vav? The Aleph, Hey, Vav, the one the letter is missing. Can't say missing the Torah Gafbid, but missing in the case of Hashem, you're missing an Aleph. It should be Kisei. The Yud K is missing a Vav Hey. Aleph Vav Hey. If you do an acronym, spells the word Eva, the Moshav Loi. When those letters are returned, is when Hashem is going to return His Malchus to His glory. That's not even. That's a Mashah. Mashah and Menachas Pei Zayin. Mashah says this. And now, what the later commentaries do, they take this Mashah, which is beyond brilliant, and they say, wait a second, that's great. Pasuk Aleph Vav Hey. But what you also can do is, acronyms, is move around the letters and say, what does it spell? Aleph Vav Hey in front of you spells who? Which means the letters, Hey, Vav, and Aleph, are missing from Hashem's throne. So we go back to hear the story. Who? Achashverosh. The letters who, Hey, Vav, Aleph, are the letters that are missing from the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
This Darav says.
I saw someone a little bit also, a combination of things. There's not the Mashah, correct. Not the Mashah. Now, so the who Achashverosh is telling us, like we started last week, that Achashverosh's goal, we said he had an OCD obsession, we're keeping the Beis HaMikdash not built. Before he became the king, or as he became the king, what before the story begins, he stopped the building of the Beis HaMikdash. We said last week, even though the Marsha we quoted before said the end of the story, he's evil as Haman, we said extend it further than Haman. He didn't build it once he knew what was going on. The Beis HaMikdash was destructive to him. Here goes Yaris Dvash. There's a mitzvah, we have 613 mitzvahs. Not everything applies today. Karbanos don't apply today. The Rambam writes that when Mashiach comes, there's going to be an order of a certain amount of mitzvahs to do. Number one, you're going to anoint the king. According to some, the obligation to destroy Amalek is not an individual obligation. Something we might have discussed last year. Every mitzvah has an obligation, who it's on. Some is for men, not for women. Some is for Kahanim, not Yisraelim. Some is for the nation, not necessarily an individual. Some are for the soldiers. What about the destruction of Amalek? A practical question. That would mean in this, if you would be walking down the street and you would meet an Amalekite that you knew 100% is Amalek, no doubts, and we're ignoring the fact you'll get caught because that could play in the game. We ignore American authorities, or you believe in America, you're allowed to shoot someone and you'll just pay a $100 fine. Depends what you look like, but we're not going into that on tape. So you're in, what are you called? You're in a private, you're walking down the street and you have the ability. You have the gun, you have the bullet. Are you obligated? I'm not saying what you should do yet. Are you obligated to the mitzvah? Or do we say, no. Maybe it's not an obligation on the individual. Maybe it's not an obligation if there's no basis. Maybe. How do you do it? So the Rambam seems to learn that first there has to be a melech. Maybe it's on the melech, or maybe it's for the melech to create it for other people, on the melech. So the first thing when Mashiach comes, what you're going to do is set up a malchus. The Rambam, helps malachim. The second thing you're going to do, the Rambam says, destroy a melech. When you set the malchus up and you destroy a melech, you know what's step three? Build the basis makers. Build the Beis HaMikdash. Now, if you're King Achashverosh, and your issue, your sickness, which we can't write, as we said last week, because he's still in power, you got to hint to it, but we have to show you that, listen, this guy's not on our side. We think we love this guy. He's not on our side. Look what Achashverosh did. The first thing he did was which we'll get to more. We did it a little bit last week. He made himself the king, preventing a Jewish king. Second thing he did was, instead of destroying Amalek, he took Amalek from the bottom. I don't know if Haman was the bottom, but he raised Amalek up. And he figured to himself, listen, I'm covering my bases here. I don't want this Beis HaMikdash. So how am I going to prevent the Beis HaMikdash? I know what the Jews need. They need two steps. King, they need king, and then they need Amalek. I'm not allowing it. I'm going to stop the king, and I'm going to raise up Amalek in order to stop this. Hu Achashverosh, I'm going to remember. I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to prevent the Beis HaMikdash, which is the letters of the Hey, Vav, and the Aleph. I'm not allowing this in. Wow. I'm not allowing this in. Who was this guy? We start the story. We said last week, we're hinting to it. He's B'tchilosev at Sefer Rasha. We're not going to say it openly. We can't say it. We got to vote for the guy. But we're going to tell you a hint, though, right away. You know what's missing here? The who's missing. The who's missing. Is the who regularly missing? The letters are missing. They're missing today also. No, no, no. Achashverosh is the one who made him missing. He's the one who's out to get us. Yeah, 100%. According to some of this, yeah. he was yes. Now, if you want to know amazing, the letters, someone is an accountant officially, the letters that are not missing, we just got the letters are missing. Let's go to the letters that are not missing in front of you. Chaf, the accountant knows, is how much? 20. Case, what is case ka? We just said the other letters, Aleph, Yud, Aleph, Vav, and Hey, which spelled who, evil. What are the letters that are still around? Case, case ka is gematria how much? Case is chaf. 20, 60. What? Anybody said? I just saw you point him. 95. The case ka is what is around is the 95. What matches the case ka? What? No. Good, but no. In the story here. Simcha, what are you telling me the whole time? Give me the name, you keep on mentioning to me. What?
Haman.
Haman's
95.
Yes. Haman is 95. Because what Achashverosh was setting up in the system was, listen, guys, I'm not going to make it look obvious. I'm preventing at all cost for the rise of this new monarchy. I'm not allowing it. So the case card represents Haman. That's something else.
That's why he doesn't have the name Haman originally.
I'll tell you more wildly. The main people. Well, I said before, I want to go back to also. I should have said it earlier. We're cutting this out and putting it in the front. When I said before was that Achashverosh was Rav Achvon, we said don't get confident. He kills his wife for his friend and kills his friend for his wife. Name of his friend is what? Haman. Name of his wife is what? Vashti. Name of his wife, other what, is what? Acronym of the names? Hey, Vav, Aleph. Hey, Vav, Aleph. Now, I want to tell you, now, even in davening, we say this, by the way. In the brach of Emes V'Yatzev, when do we say Emes V'Yatzev?
In the morning.
Hold on, we're going to get it inside here. Yeah, we've got to get it. Emes V'Yatzev, it says like this. L'dor v'dor. Is that what it said here? The famous Amalek is a fight. Midor v'dor. Midor v'dor. You say this every day in Shabbat. L'dor v'dor. Who? Kayim. The word who we keep on talking about. Who Kayim? When the who is Kayim, what's the next words? Ushmoy Kayim. Because it needs a Yud Kei Vav Kei. What's the next word? V'chisei Nachoin. His throne becomes full. Tomorrow morning by Shachris. Someone said it's 7:30. 7:30 Shachris tomorrow. When you read these words, it's what we're discussing now. The Hu Kayim, when the letters Hey Vav Aleph return to its glory, the Shmoy Kayim and the Chizanachan. Umalchus Sefer Menos, the Alchemist. Mashiach arise, we're all imperfect. Now, the Gemara has a fascinating thing. The Gemara says that in the Targum, for the Targum, Shalom Melech. Shalom Melech has another name. Shalach HaMelech's name was Cush. At one, when it says by the Megillah, when it introduces Mardukhai, right? What? Where is that? You on with the Pesukim? Where is that? What parak? Gimel? All right, it's darkened. Ish Yehuda Hayyushush Rabbi Yishmoy Mardukhai Yar B'Shimi B'Kish. Now Kish is Shalach HaMelech, and according to it's also Gemara says his name is Cush. The difference between the name Shaul and the name Cush is going to be 11. And I saw it brought down. Shaul is the one who's going to get back to the story. We're going to get back to this. Shaul had a chance at destroying the nation of Amalek, and he let it go. And Mordechai comes as his great-grandchild to fix that whole situation up. Shaul lost 11 numbers in the numeric value of his name because he didn't match up with Amalek because he left this game going. The who going of the Vav Hey, of Hashem's name. But that's not as good. What's amazing is, when it talks about, there's a few people in Baruch Hulin that discusses where they're mentioned in the Torah. Haman min HaTorah minayin. Haman Eitz Hazeh. We'll have to get to that. There's 1,000 bad guys. Mordechai min HaTorah minayin. Mordechai in the Ketores. Hopefully we'll get to that eventually. The Targum, and the Gemara talks about Mordechai, it's called Mar Yadachya. Gemara seems to say it there also. Mar Yadachya. What's amazing is, if you have the letters in front of you, we don't have a blackboard here, the word Mordechai appears in Mar Yadachya. The letters are there in acronym. Except there's an extra what? Aleph, Vav, and Hey. Because Mordechai's gang was to get back. When Achashverosh began the story with saying, he's grabbing these letters and saying, I ain't going to let this malchus happen. I'm not going to allow it. I'm going to make myself the king. I'm going to raise Haman up. I'm going to stop this. I'm not going to allow this. What happens is Mordechai in the end comes through the story. And what Mordechai does in the story was, he returns it to its glory almost perfectly. Didn't work out. We're still in Gullus, but we'll get to. Almost went perfectly to the point of Mar Yadachya, where he's adding on. Mer
Yadachya.
But it's the same letters as Mordechai with an extra
aleph
go
and then an extra yud.
No, an extra yud and an aleph.
Yes,
which is numeric 11, which is vav hey. Yud aleph is vav hey. Right. The numeric value equals up because we have to realize again when we're starting the story, it's a beautiful story, but every word in the story is there to magnify the miracle that's happening. And part of the magnification of the miracle that's happening is for us today to be reading this and understanding how great it really is. And to understand that there's a chess match going on here of epic world proportions. That Mordechai is thinking about great-grandfather. And that Haman, we're going to see, is thinking about his great-grandfather. Achashverosh is in it. This is not just a story about a party. Yes, when we read it, the reason why we read it this way is because that's how the events occurred. As the most famous word of all time, is that Hashem's name is not openly in the story. Why? Because the people at the time were not openly recognizing Hashem. As we said a few minutes ago, what were they saying? So when you're going around saying, and you don't see Hashem, when we write the story over, we don't show you Hashem. Is Hashem's name in the Megillah? Absolutely. It's in acronyms, gematrias, all the things that we laugh at, because that's the way it works in our life right now. In our life, are we recognizing Hashem's name all the time? Or are we letting it go through the acronyms and stuff like that? Mirz Hashem, we will continue next week. We should only have good news, and hopefully the who will be fulfilled. For the Malchusei Kayam, L'Olam V'Olam.
Amen.